Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Does it seem your life could be summed up by more, more, faster, faster? How can you slow the pace? Do you ever start your day with so much to do you feel tired before you even begin? Are you always tired? Are you always feeling drained? Maybe you suffer from chronic fatigue. Does it seem that no matter what you do, you never seem to rest, you never seem to catch up? Again, chronic fatigue. Are you plagued by the thought of something more that needs to be done? Chronic fatigue. I've led you to think about physical rest, but maybe I have been describing your spiritual life. The writer of Hebrews uses the analogy of rest to describe a right relationship, a relationship of total commitment to and with God. We looked last week at finding our identity in Christ. You do that by being in His Word, getting to know Him more and more, which changed how you live and even who you are. Well, how can you slow the pace of your life and overcome this spiritual chronic fatigue? Let's read together Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise of remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from His. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. If you suffer from chronic fatigue, check your attitude toward God's Word. Jesus said, "You are my disciple if you abide in my word." The persecution was increasing for the Jewish believers, the Hebrews that the book gets its name from, because they had turned their back on two aspects of their world. They had turned their back on the world, the Roman government, the group that said there are many gods and every one of us that becomes Caesar is that god. But they had also abandoned the laws which the Jews had embraced since the time of Moses. They were caught in the proverbial no man's land. They weren't with the world, but they weren't with the Jewish people from whom they had come out either. They were in this group, and what they were struggling with was Jesus really worth it? And the writer of Hebrews is writing to them to encourage them to say, He is worth it. His concern, the writer's concern, is about those who had heard the gospel but had not reacted, responded as God desired. His fear was for those who had come short of God's promise to them of rest. In this whole passage, going back into chapter 3 and into chapter 4, he's quoting often over and over in this passage, Psalm 95. And he's talking about three kinds of rest that are possible or have been observed. One was the Sabbath rest that God said, everything is done, it's completed, I am finished, and he rested from creation. The second rest that he's mentioning is what Joshua offered was going to make possible, and the people said, oh no, we can't do that. We can't go into the promised land. God can't do that. And I want to say, wish I'd have been there to say to them, oh yes, he can. But then now he's talking about a third kind of rest, this idea of spiritual rest. Peace, the possibility to be at peace, to have rest, if we will have faith and obey God. That there is that possible. What he's saying in another way of looking at it is this rest is entering into the presence of God, ultimately into heaven itself. And that is a present tense verb. I'm not a great Greek scholar, but I understand that if it's a present tense verb, it's something that you keep doing and you keep experiencing. And he said, enter God's rest. But he said, let me tell you what the problem is. You have a bad attitude towards God's word. And so it seemed that the Hebrews were wavering. And they were going to go back to the way of the law, which was really a works-based thinking or way of life. Do you know people who are performance-based acceptance people? Have you ever watched somebody that struggled with how they think people look at them, and they say, well, I just need to do more? And that's what he was talking about here. And so they needed to think about their attitude toward the gospel, toward God's word. And maybe you do as well. I'm about to mention something that some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Some of us remember it. It's called the TV Guide. Here's the poem. On the table, side by side, a holy Bible and the TV Guide. One is well worn but cherished with pride, not the Bible, but the TV Guide. One is used daily to help folks decide, no, it isn't the Bible, it's the TV Guide. As pages are turned, what shall they see? Oh, what does it matter? Turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide, no, not the Bible, it's the TV Guide. The word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse ere they fall into bed. Exhausted and sleepy and tired as can be, not from reading the Bible, but watching TV. So then, back to the table, side by side, is the Holy Bible and the TV Guide. No time for prayer, no time for the Word. The plan for salvation is seldom heard. Forgiveness of sin, so full and free, is found in the Bible, not on TV. Or I would suggest to you, your phone, or social media, or any of a lot of things that we try to plug into our lives, hoping that we will find this rest that we also desperately desire and we also desperately need, but we can't find. Do you continue to struggle in your relationship with the Lord God? You don't rest every time you enter your bedroom, do you? Neither does having a Bible mean you will enter God's rest. What is your attitude toward God's word? What is your attitude toward the good news about Jesus? Are you desperate to learn? Are you so hungry for God's word, for him to speak into your heart and life, that you spend regular, significant time studying his God's word? I didn't say, do you read a verse a day? And I didn't even say, do you have a morning devotion? All those things are important. But do you have a desire for God to speak into your heart and life enough to really study His Word? So what is your attitude towards God's Word? Toward the good news about Jesus Christ? Are you obeying it? Are you living it out by faith? If you stop and think about your attitude toward God's Word, is it a take it or leave it kind of attitude? Is it a, well, that may have been true for them, but it's not true for me? There's a word we used in Oklahoma for that. It's called baloney. Do you know that word? What's your attitude towards His Word? Are you really totally committed to Christ? Are you committed enough to study His Word? Oh, there's other things more important. Oh, really? What amazes me is how everything to know is wanted to be known about disease as a threat to physical life. But what the Bible says about relationships and about how we are to obey Christ and live eternally, we just kind of disregard. Is your life marked by chronic fatigue? If you suffer from chronic fatigue, you can enter into rest only through obedience. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What was significant about God's resting? Well, He was finished. It was completed. It was done. There was nothing more that He could do, nor was there anything more to do. And then the writer compares salvation to the completion of faith in obedience. In verse 6 is a summation of the assertion about the rest God made possible. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. God sending Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin. God sending Jesus to pay and make possible this new life is real. But some did not believe it because of disobedience. And again, he references or uses the analogy of Joshua and the rest that was offered to the people of Israel. And they said, oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. They're so big. They're so tough. We can't do that. And they turned away. And that may be a good analogy of what's happening in our world today. Psalm 95 is quoted again in verse 7. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. What's the hardness of your heart? Is it hard or is it soft? Do not harden your heart. Today is the day to enter the rest Jesus makes possible. Or have you hardened your heart to God's Word and His offer? Only disobedience stands in your way. If you have ever built or remodeled a house, you can relate to the question of, is the house finished? When we lived through a remodel, people would say, is the house finished? And I wanted to say, define for me finished. If that means, are you living in it, then yes, it is finished. But if you mean, is everything done or that there is nothing left to do, then no, the house is not finished. How do you look at your salvation, your relationship with God? Is it finished? Or are you constantly trying to complete it by what you can do? Now, let me be clear. Submitting your life to Christ in repentance, other than that, apart from that, there is nothing you can do to earn salvation. You do not earn salvation. It is not a works-based mentality that I'm talking about. But we in America have this idea that nominal Christianity is what God expects. That's all He expects. And I want to say to you that that is not biblical, and that ultimately is not healthy for you or what the work of Christ. Are you growing in your relationship to Jesus? If not, you are prone to disobedience. You are prone to drifting away. So the call to you today is a call of total commitment. The most critical question that you will answer ever in your life is, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? You have to deal with Christ. All of creation speaks of God's glory. As we think about in a couple months the hikers coming into town and us having the opportunity to minister to them, my prayer for them has been and will be, Lord, speak to them through the glory of your creation. The most critical question that we will ever answer is what have you done with Christ? There is no middle ground. There is no neutrality. You either reject him or you accept him. So is there peace in your life today? Is there rest in your soul today? How would you describe your approach to or attitude towards God's word? Are you diligent or apathetic? It may be that you are experiencing spiritual chronic fatigue. Chronic fatigue may continue to be a problem because there is no fooling God. There is a saying about fooling all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time, and you can't fool God ever. You can't fool God ever. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Because we can lie to ourselves. And we believe the lie. Those who remain insensitive to the voice of God in Scripture may discover God's word is also a lethal weapon. God's word is a lethal weapon. That's what he's talking about, a two-edged sword. There in verses 12 and 13. That it's sharper, it is so sharp. It even discerns the thoughts and intentions of your heart. And it reaches into the very depths of every one of us, and there is no fooling God. So check yourself. Take a little vital sign. What is your attitude towards God's word? Is your attitude towards God's word kind of ambivalent? Are you compliant? Or are you defiant? Are you careful with God's word to do God's word? Or are you trying to fool God today? Do you really think nominal Christianity is what he expects? Well, I go every Sunday at 11 o'clock. What more could he expect? Well, he expects all of you. And if you're not in God's word, let me say it to you again. If you're not in God's word, you are defiant and you are drifting. And a drifting ship finds itself on the rocks and sinks. And such will be your life. So what is your attitude towards God's word? A.W. Tozer said, God perfectly knows himself, and being the source and author of all things, it follows that he knows all that can be known. And this he knows instantly and with fullness of perfection that includes every possible item of knowledge concerning everything that exists or could have existed anywhere in the universe at any time in the past, or that may exist in the centuries or ages yet unborn. Because God knows all things perfectly, he knows no thing better than any other thing, but all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised, never amazed. He never wonders about anything, nor except when drawing men out for their own good. Does he seek information or ask questions? He knows your heart. God's desire for you, for your life, is for it to be marked by total commitment to him. Total commitment. You show that by getting to know him and what he desires. And you only get to know him through his word by studying his word. So is your life marked by total commitment? Are you obedient to God's word? It didn't go out of style. Is your life marked by total commitment to God?